It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Messer.
Well, I screwed up my two-minute commercial, and I didn't have time to say, you know, Google Roy Messer's books, you know, on Amazon. And then you get this book, Gravity Driven Universe, and it will read Energy from a Unifying Field. That's the latest version. Get that one. I think that's the only one that's up there right now anyway. It looks the same as the other one. But this is a gift for someone you love, someone that loves physics, someone that loves the meaning of life. There's two books in one. One is Finding God Beyond Gravity. That's the second part. It's 200 pages. The first part is real physics, what gravity really is, and it's really magical. Really magical. Why matter spins? What's the spin force? And where's the source of the spin force that spins? You know, with perfect, you know, regularity, proportionality, and all the rest of it. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, now let's take our call. Who's next? John, Rhode Island. Hello. Is it Tom? I beg your pardon. Go ahead. Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm probably going to be a little awkward in my presentation here, but I love you. You're a great guy, and you've been a tremendous help in pulling my thoughts together. It's, I started by seeing a light, and this is years ago when I first opened up a long time ago. And I saw this light, and over time, it's diminished. And then using your meditative exercise, I was able to, you know, see the sparkles and see the light again, so to speak, on the blank screen.
Yeah, I tell you what's wrong. I tell you what's wrong. You're not committed.
I'm not committed.
Not committed, no. You wouldn't, if what you had was beautiful and you let it go. You let it go, because I think you love your life in this world too much.
It's a difficult thing.
Meditation is a journey of separating from your mortality, from your mortal self, your feeling, thinking self, and right. giving the reins of how you move and have your being and what your future is to something, him who created you, and the process.
But the problem is,
it feels like dying. It may feel like dying. The problem is,
I died a thousand times here.
You don't die. It feels like dying to begin with, but if you learn to bear with it and saying, okay, if I'm going to die, I die. You see, because there's a aspect to this journey that you know that there's a certain pain that comes because you're beginning to dissolve. The dark side is beginning to dissolve the part of you that you think of as you. It is not you.
Why can't I? Let me see if I can find a word to describe what I'm trying to say. I understand every word that you said, and I had an immediate connection to your voice, to the whole message that I've been listening to you for 2 years. So, and there isn't a thing that I haven't identified with.
But you haven't dealt with what you've identified. Let me ask you a question: Who do you hate? Who do you resent most?
I can't really answer that because
there's somebody you resent.
Well, I hated my father, and then I began to see that he was, you know, in his condition, his Adam and his descendant, and so on.
And then
my mother came into the picture to the point where I could see that, I guess you could call it child molestation, in the sense of her trying to make a man out of me, you know, and commenting about...
So, are you telling you resent both your father and your mother?
That's what I really can't answer. It's like I'm
But yes, you can. So, in other words, you're not looking at it. Because if you're looking at it... I think you're trying... Look, you're basically a decent person, and you don't want to hate your mother and father.
No, that's right.
So, therefore, But so when you see that you hate them, you try to see them in a good light. As a good kid, you want to see your mother and father in a good light. That's a mistake.
Right.
Because if you see them in a good light, you don't hate them. But if you see them as they really are, you will hate them. So therefore, you don't want to hate, so you keep seeing them in a good light. Well, good luck, it's not going to work. You've got to see them for what they are, and then you have to not hate what they are. Because of themselves, they can't help what they are. Any more than you can help what you are. See, so, but when you can realize what I just said, that you actually put your mother, you actually projecting a good image of both your parents so that you can keep from hating them. That doesn't solve your problem. You have to see them and not hate them and forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the way it works.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello, Helen. So you want to deal with the coming crisis when your husband thinks I'm a nut, right?
Yeah, he does, and I feel just terrible about this. My son, I live in the suburbs in New Jersey, and I'm about a 45-minute ride from Philadelphia, where my son is very involved in his studies at a college there. And the two of them, my husband and my son, are like a team fighting against me, and I don't know what to do. I feel like a sense of doom.
No. Then I can understand your husband thinking of me as a nut because you're not a good example of what I'm teaching. I don't see doom. I see an opportunity to deal with the situation correctly on my part. If I see doom, I'm done. There's no end to it. You might as well say go home and give up and just die. You can't be a doom and gloom person. But you haven't found grace. Grace can go through anything and come out with greater hope and strength and character. You're missing the point. See, you're missing the point entirely. You actually no longer much different from them.
Right,
so I have to criticize you first.
That's fine. I'm listening. I'm open to
now. Look.
Yes.
I opened my radio program, and I said I have insight. I've seen it coming. You've listened to many people have listened to me for 53 years. I have seen it coming, and as it came closer and closer, and I almost told you who it was and who it is. I almost said it in words. And
yes,
that you have a communist president. And he's surrounded by communists. Why don't you get it? Nobody will say it.
Well, you also said that you gave a situation where a country could have a president who could become a dictator. You did say that.
Well, yeah, that's correct. And that's right. And so, but it's not him. It's one comes after him. No, but right now, that's not the issue.
Yes.
And the one after, that one could come after him. And so that's not the issue. I'm saying I have intelligence. I have direct intelligence. I know things because it's my world. And I can't tell you how I know. And I can tell you, but I can tell you the intuitive part. The intuitive part is that the Communist Party that left the Senate, there's 30 communists, there's 80 of them in the government, in one party, on one side in Congress. And so, and people are caught afraid of this. You know, when the president is afraid to call a terrorist a terrorist, because when you define your enemy, then he becomes your enemy. If you don't define him, you can be his friend. See, and then it becomes the friend of the enemy, and then you're the friend of the enemy, and then you embolden the enemy, and things get worse. It's important you define the enemy. This country has a communist president. Now, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote for him. A lot of people do. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm just saying what he is. And then he's surrounded by those people, and people are too feeble enough to see the truth. And they have their hands on America's treasures, and they're not going to let it go easily. Do you get it? They're not going to let it go. So whatever way, it doesn't matter who wins this election, all hell will break loose. If only a civil war, but it gets worse than a civil war. It gets much worse than a civil war, and I cannot tell you what I know. I dare not tell you what I know, because I said you won't believe it. So I'm telling you, all my friends listening, all those who love me, before the election, make sure you elect, whatever you do. Go away and get as far away from a big city as possible, where you can pump water out of the ground and have food. Go to some place that loves you, people that love you out in the country, away, away, away from big cities. All of them. Now, that's all I'm telling you. You do what the hell you want. Now, you tell that stupid husband of yours to call me a nut and tells me and why he thinks I'm a nut just for saying these things. You don't have to believe it. I say it's worse than I can tell you. I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt to take a vacation, would it? It wouldn't hurt to take a vacation. Or you just want to remain blind, because you got to be blind not to see what I just said. Every person listening to this program has got to be blind as a bat, unable to deal with any of their own faults. You've got to be one of them not to see it. That's what I'm saying. You've got to be one of them. One of them that will be part of the system. They'd be acceptable because you don't see it. Because the secret way of saying of the dictator is, thou shalt not be aware. If they see that you're aware, they kill you. That's what happens in a communist or fascist country. If you're aware, if you're in a cannibal, you're born into a cannibal kingdom, and if you're aware, you go into, they see it right away, and they put you in the soup pot. So there's never a chance ever to be anything but a communist, a cannibal society, a communist society, or a fascist society, and America will become a communist country. Thou shalt not be aware. By punishment of being accused of something you didn't do. Got it?
Roy, you're telling me to tell my husband to call you?
Well, if he wants to, he hasn't got the guts.
That's
you tell
true.
Him, you tell him he hasn't got the guts.
That's true. Now, I do understand that you're absolutely right. I've been kind of like depressed over this, and maybe I have not been acting with grace.
That's why you're not a good example of mine.
Can you tell me what that means, acting with grace in this situation?
With no fear. I see all the things I'm seeing, and I'm not afraid for my own life, and I have crosshairs on me.
I understand. And acting with grace, that would mean in a calm way getting my son out of Philadelphia?
Well, I don't know if you can get your son out of Philadelphia.
I don't think I can.
You
I don't
can just say, okay, I'm going. I'm going to go for a vacation. And Philadelphia is the worst place you could be. It's like being in Chicago or something.
I don't know if I can get my son out of there.
To hell with him. Go by yourself.
Just go take a vacation.
Take a vacation.
Yeah, I have. Okay. Well, okay.
Be in charge of your own life. You don't have to drag them with you if they don't want to. They're old enough to make a decision for themselves. Stop being responsible. You're too responsible for them. You stop being a mother. They're men. They make up their own mind. They don't want to go, go. Go yourself. Right or wrong?
All right, Roy, thank you very much. Thank you.
You got your freedom when you make up your mind. Listen, I know what my responsibilities are with little children and God knows what. That's different. They're not little children. I let go of my responsibility when my kids grow older. And they want to go to hell, they can. And they want to come back, I'm happy. Got it?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. You got to give them the freedom, otherwise you're a slave of them. A slave of your responsibility that you keep trying to make them do this, and no wonder they think you're crazy. Because you're trying to put your will on them. Don't you see it? No, the more you say, don't you see it, the more you panic you are, the less they're going to see it, because you don't see it. After a while, you're going to feel your own panic for not seeing. You're too tangled up with your family. Take a vacation. Take enough with you for a few months. You never know how long it's going to be. The 60 days of after the election is the most deadly time in all of history, not just for America. The most deadly time in the whole of history that ever was and ever will be again. You just don't know what's going on, and I do. And I'm not going to tell you. Got it?
Yeah.
I know the politics of it, don't you see? And it's frightening. But I'm not frightened. Just telling you. Go. All right. Well, Jeffrey, I've answered the question, Jeffrey. Is a civil war coming? Of course. But that's not the worst of it. Are you there, Jeffrey?
I am. How are you, Roy?
I'm doing good.
Good. My question is actually kind of is very related to the last call. For months now, I've been having dreams of a civil war here in America. And
yeah, but it's just common sense. Just common sense. You don't need to have dreams of it. Just
every day, though, Roy. I'm really worried.
Well, what you're saying is your dreams are reflecting what you see. And they're telling you what didn't want to face when you were awake.
Boy, I'm a Canadian citizen. I came here in 1979. I'm on a green card. Should I go back to Canada?
Yeah, right away.
That's what I think.
Like tomorrow.
I'm very scared, boy.
No, don't be scared. Just go back to Canada.
No, I'm scared because I'm scared for what's going to happen to this country.
No. We're divided. You can't be scared for me. No, you can't be scared for me, and you can't be scared for what's going to happen to people.
All right.
You just see that it's so, and you do what you need to do. And when that's all. That's very simple. You know, to be scared, you don't have to be scared to be able to function. What you're telling me, I have to be scared to function. I don't have to be scared to function. The trouble is, you're so used to being scared to function, you have to be scared to function, which is not a good idea.
No.
You have to learn to see it and do it. Bingo. Simple.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome.
I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. Well, let me see. Does this mean to say I'm sitting by myself here now? We had a lot of calls. We dispatched them rather early this evening. And so maybe I can promote my book. You know, the number, if you'd like to call, I'd love to call, talk to you, but I think wherever you go, you need to take my book with you. Let me start with a bit of physics. A little bit of physics here. Let's see, where is it? Oh, let me see. Let me see. I'm looking at through my book here. Well, let me just read you the metaphysical part. This is called the gravity-driven universe as energy from a unifying field. And the part I'm reading from, it's just a little bit of the spiritual stuff here. I want you to hear the spiritualness of it. So, page 236, all that which is purely physical exists in time present. This is the metaphysical part where I speak in terms of physics and all the rest of it, but then I'm talking about time and timelessness. All that which is purely physical exists in time present, But that which is also a spiritual man lives in the timeless presence as well. To spiritual mankind, time presence and timeless presence overlap and coexist. The fact that the spirit coexists with the flesh, that it occupies the same space as the material body, creates a friction that is experienced as conflict and guilt, a travail like a woman in labor. The soul, coexisting in the body, has allegiances, either to the flesh, which is subject to the external forces of nature from the beginning of time, or to the source of all creation. He that existed before time began abides within us now, so that you can see there's no tangible answer to the question, where is the soul in the body? It is both there and not there, because it coexists in two dimensions at once. Therefore is the cosmos an interdimensional phenomenon, an outpouring of the divine energies into the physical realm, allowing the Spirit of God to enter his creature image of himself upon the completion of his work. For the temple of God is man, created in his likeness. Man's soul, then, stands astride two worlds, between the forces of good and evil, timelessness and time. If a man submits himself to the moral impulses of the timeless one, then time is under his feet. He ceases to be subject to the tyrannical time that rules over the rest of mankind. Therefore, if man surrenders his spirit in helplessness and humility, he will exist in the state described in religious parlance as saved, and therefore live on eternally with God. The physical, uncrossable border is then crossed. Then the next page, 233. This chapter is called Finding God Beyond Gravity. Deadly gravitations. Man is born in the lineage of nature and then of spirit. Although we are composed of both nature and of spirits, our soul must yearn to resolve the mystery of our captivity in the animal flesh, which is inherently and genetically subject to all the gravitations of physical laws from the beginning of time when God said, "Let there be." Read on carefully, my friend. Persevere, and you'll soon come to know this mystery, for we're dealing with a subtle and malevolent spirit working through our pride, a spirit that keeps us not only subject to the body's dissolution, but beyond that also the death of our souls. So you see, it's not just a matter of being inevitably subject to change and decay and death like the beast of the field. Rather, our life and death have to do with a factor that is not inevitable, namely the inclination of our egos towards the self-centeredness of the pride of life, in other words, towards evil, so that when this terrible self-destructive inclination has divided us from the Father within, we then experience death both in nature and in spirit. Should we be content to breed and wither and die, circling a star with the universe itself rotating endlessly around the dawn of creation? Do our souls have another beginning at the end of this life? Surely our yearning and our longings tell us there's two possible origins in the way we exist, the one we fell from and the other one we fell into. Can we live in this world and yet be not of it? Can we be born in one world and then be reborn in another? Surely the friction within our souls is telling us there's something wrong with this meaningless life and that we have somehow missed the return cycle of the soul's completion. And I can go on and on, because that is just the philosophical part of the book. And it goes on in many ways more beautiful. Then we have at the physics one here. Let me see if I can find that one, because it's I've lost the physics one. No, here it is. This is in the beginning. This is the book is two parts. One is for the philosopher, and one is for the, and they're both about physics and gravity. Because nobody knows what gravity is. Not even the physicists know what gravity is. They wish they knew it. If they knew, they would be able to get energy from the field. But this is chapter 6 of Gravity-Driven Universe. And so it's chapter 6, Earth, a Vacuum Energy Machine. Listen to this. The enormous pressure at the Earth's core, this is pressure gravity, not pull gravity. The enormous pressure at the Earth's core has crystallized the molten iron into a perfectly lined magnet, with all its electrons spinning harmoniously in unison. The very same force that shapes and moves everything at the subatomic level now rotates the planets and the stars. This immense crystal spins in collective union with the spin of the field currents of an elementary particle. The Earth's surface rotates slower than the core because of its magnetic crystal drags through the soup of molten iron. Behold how Earth is a living example of a vacuum energy machine doing work, and lots of it. The magnetic Earth, frame-dragging through space and time, is very much electric, and from space beyond the highest clouds, lightning arcs to Earth, producing claps of thunder. Continuous arcs form tornadoes, which fill up their vacuums as they draw up from the ground. They move along the ground with the traction of their sucking, twisting spin. Although most people perceive this in terms of devastation and damage, I see it as work. See? So a tornado is a continuous spark, a continuous arc to the ground, so that the gravity, the vacuum caused by the spark, the vacuum burned air, burned up a vacuum through the atmosphere, sucks up the ground continuously until it disconnects from the Earth, until the disconnect occurs. Because the compression of gravity, the Earth will never cool or lose its magnetic field, always rotating from the very same force spinning the elements at the quantum level. The quantum physics no longer conflicts with Einstein's general theory. All the way up from the quantum level, everything spins, is recharged, and has momentum. The gravity that spins, the infinitude of incomplete electrogravitational fundamental particles, crushes their essence into stars through space and time, which is also gravity. These particles, attracting magnetically, crushed by gravitation, give birth to the two other fundamental forces. They, by completing the first atomic density through fusion. Beyond the first bang, the strong and weak forces now abiding in the hydrogen atom carry forward in the production line of stars their supernova into heavier elements. At this point, flowing gravitation has evolved through several transmutations and transformations. Indeed, gravity is now ensconced in matter with space-time as the first fundamental force, the mother of the other three. Yes, in other words, gravity is the first fundamental force, but it spins, it crushes, it transforms into the other three. In that simple few paragraphs, I made a point, but the book is about that. It's about that. You don't need scientists. You don't need the laws of conservation, spin, charge, and momentum. You don't need that. If I had to conserve my battery in my car, I couldn't start it. Mass spins, and it's always being refreshed. Just like the eddy in a stream. It is the construct of the stream. It is the constant of the stream. And the stream has a source also. The stream is the push force, the spin force. The giver of spin, charge spinning. And momentum, because it hangs, but the little eddy spins in the stream and doesn't go as fast as the stream because the gyroscopic nature of it resists the current, and the current curves around it like it was a little stone in the way, and the current curving around that little stream, the little eddy that's the construct of the current, which is the smallest part of matter. And then the curving of the stream around it is what we call local gravity and time passing. And you have upriver and downriver from a little particle. See, that's it. Very simple. You need to get a copy of this. It explains why the moon itself is the evidence. The moon itself and the Earth is a gravity energy machine. There's more about this in this book, Gravity Driven Universe. I can't tell it to you at all in a few minutes. I'm just reading little bits and pieces of it, hoping that you will get a copy of this and give it to your friends and give it to a scientist. The Earth wasn't created, the universe wasn't created from a pinhead. Anybody who thinks the Earth came from the size of a pin is a pinhead himself. You can get a copy of my Gravity Driven Universe. Go to, you Google Roy Masters Books on, go to Amazon and go to Roy Masters Books and look for Gravity Driven Universe, Energy from a Unifying Field. It's subtitled. Energy, it's two books in one. And you can understand this. You can understand this and you can make it make sense. I will not allow physicists to make science a substitute, a default of for religion. There is a God, there is a source of all this force, and so it's what you call a singularity. A singularity is like what you think of as a big bang, but it doesn't go a big bang. It's a big whoosh, and it whooshes, and it whooshes. It flows, and that's what gravity, it flows from another identity. Just like you have a river that flows, and you have little eddies that spin, and the eddies that spin are masses, and they don't go as fast as the river, so therefore gravity goes faster than the spin, and therefore you have little curves, and there's little pressures against the little stones, and those little eddies become like stones. And the gravity is river, and the river curves around the stones, and the curve is local gravity. But the universal gravity is the whole river. And the whole river is flowing from a source. So you know that it has to rain in order for it to have a headwaters where the river begins. So we cannot go beyond that singularity. Something is raining back there. Something is coming through that singularity. Huge, huge orifice. A huge orifice, like the camera lens. And energy flows through that forever. Spinning. Driving, crushing, creating stars, endless transformations. You can't say it in a few words. It takes 300 pages to do that, and you won't get tired of any page at all. Please give it a shot, because if a good physicist could put his nonsense aside, his brainwashing, if you like, even physicists are brainwashed. They won't question those who teach them. It doesn't make sense to anybody that there's a Big Bang that couldn't exist, and I can explain it so commonsensically, it couldn't exist. It couldn't create its own time. It couldn't nothing exists before time. As a matter of fact, matter has to exist before time can. Matter comes first. But actually, gravity comes first. Then comes matter spinning from it, and then as like the river goes round a rock, the little spinning thing, then there's that curving river around the rock is what is called time. And the time is involved with gravity, local gravity pressure, which is pressure you feel on your head. And that pressure is not pull. It's different. Same mathematics, but a different outcomes. Different outcomes which makes us have energy from the field. All right, let me make a point here. Thank you. 800-866-8883, the number. And call me.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. David in Arizona, 800-866-8883. David uses sleep to escape. Very bad form. Hello, David. Is David there? I don't hear David. Check, 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 check. David, 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 David. Who's held? Ah, Patty. Nevada, new listener. Hello, Patty. How are we doing?
Yes, I'm doing fine, thank you. I was just explaining to Stephanie, and she said my explanation was too long.
Okay.
I am a new listener, and there's a lot of what you say that I very much respect and have learned from you. But my problem that I'm having understanding is, why do you feel that if there's a female-male relationship or a husband-wife relationship, that when the male wants to give the lady gifts, such, are you saying they cannot give their other half?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. You don't ever give to get. If you give a gift, you give it because there's a need for that gift, or there's a reason for it. Respect. You bring a gift to because you love someone. You bring a gift, like when you go to someone's house and you bring a bottle of wine if you want to. There's certain reasons, but you're not giving to get. So whenever you give something with the intention of getting something back, this is very dangerous in every walk of life.
Okay, I can go. I follow that. That's absolutely true.
But if a husband gives a woman things and puts her on a pedestal to get sex or to get love from her, he is a very weak man and sends some very bad signals to his wife.
But see, that's what I don't understand, why you believe that.
No. I didn't say you couldn't give a gift to your wife. You got to hear the whole thing clearly. If a man gives a gift with a specific purpose of looking for the approval, in other words, he's eager to make her love him, you shouldn't have, and he gets a little charge from that. No, it's not true love to give to get. When you give, give freely. You give freely.
I understand what you're saying, then. If you give it under false pretense like
that's right. That's right.
That always does backfires. In that case, I absolutely agree with you.
I thank you very much. Anything else I can do?
Yes, I understand you're having some kind of thing. I don't know what part of Oregon you're in. And I know you want to take other calls right now. But, you know, I need help in another area.
Please ask me.
Well, I know about a week ago you gave an exorcism to a lady named Terry.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Well, I was wondering if I can maybe... Are you what part of Oregon you're in?
I live in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Is it possible to come there to you for that, or...?
No, Grants Pass. Where do you live? You live in Nevada?
Yes, currently I'm in Nevada.
Well, I give Sunday morning talks, and people do come from all over if they have a serious problem. But most of the problem I could take care of on the radio and the way I do. And there's no need to travel, but if there's a need to travel, I can be of service in person. Sometimes it's better that way. But more often than not, it's better, especially if you have a serious problem and you want to spend a couple of hours with me. That would be very beneficial. So, but right now, I'm just suspending, because of the dangerous season we are headed into with the elections. Very dangerous season. The next 60 days after the election is the most dangerous time in all of history ever since time began. And I can't tell you why.
No, I know you can't say why, but would you say it would be safe to be in Fiji, or it's going to be anywhere?
I would say take a vacation as far away from America as you can get.
Okay, I got you. Because,
I may not go, but I'm advising everybody else to think about it.
If I have a chance to, I have an opportunity to leave for Fiji with some people.
Go.
And you would say,
go quickly.
Should I pay rent here, or should I?
I don't know. I can't manage you.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome, you dear lady. I do hope I've been helpful. Yes, overeating is called gluttony, and it's a very dangerous addiction. Rob in New Jersey. Hello, Rob.
Right. Yeah, I was. You just confirmed what I was feeling. I'm not terribly overweight, but I am overweight.
Well, and, yeah, listen, and you still how old are you? How old are you?
I will be 60.
Well, and it's a very bad time to be overweight.
Yes, and I've already gotten high blood pressure.
Well, yeah, but your high blood pressure may not be from the food, but the high blood pressure is probably from your emotions, and emotions, and when you're emotional, you're going to feel an emptiness, and the emptiness will be emotions have tricked you and disentangled you from your true self a long time ago. Your emotions are long-standing, and you've let the world upset you and stimulate you and entice you and seduce you, and take you away from the fulfillment of God, which is natural just for being sitting still and being a whole human being. Now, you don't have to look for fulfillment anywhere. It's already within you. You're walking around with it everywhere, and it becomes a complete person. But if you are empty, and you don't understand the nature of your emptiness by virtue of emotions, your overreactions to pressures of life, which is transmogrifying you and downward transcending you down like an animal. You're beginning to feel anxiety, and this emptiness is a separation from God. And there's a dark side of you that gives you the idea that food or something could fulfill it, sex, drugs, anything. But food is the most basic one. And so the more you move towards that food and the more you find pleasure in it, the more of a fool you become for it.
How I should approach food.
I tell you what to do. Are you sitting in your kitchen right now?
No, I'm in my room.
Okay. You want to go in the kitchen?
Okay.
And open. Well, actually, go next to your refrigerator.
Okay.
How far away from it are you?
I don't think I can reach it from here. I have a landline.
Oh. You mean you're not in your house or something?
Well, I can't reach the refrigerator from the phone.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Put down the phone and go get something from the refrigerator. Get one good food and one bad food. So one that's not good for you, one that's good for you. Know the difference?
Yeah.
Okay, just go put the phone down and I'll sing a song. Okay, it'll take a second. And then put them down in front of you. And then it's very simple. I'll tell my audience. If you know the knowledge of good and evil? Okay. Well, junk food. Or too much food, either way, junk food. Let's say junk food and good food. You know the difference? An orange or an apple or apple strudel, which is better? Apple, fresh apple, or apple strudel. One tastes better than the other? Okay. One's junk. One's real. One's from the tree of God. Now, when you're hungry, why don't you put both those things in front of you? What have you got? What have you got in front of you?
I have a Pepsi and a potato.
Both bad choices.
Okay. I'll try again.
No, but let me just give you the. First of all, you should never drink that crap.
Right.
Why you drink it? Because you're looking for taste.
Yeah, that's right.
You're poisoning yourself. But now here's the secret. Let's say you're sitting down in front of, there's a carrot and there's carrot soup.
Okay.
Okay, let's put it that way. Which is better, you think, the raw carrot or the soup?
The raw carrot.
Oh, you know that, don't you?
Right.
So here you do it. The raw carrot actually will eventually taste better. Eventually. Right now, you're conditioned to the other one. You're conditioned to it. You're born into carrot soup place. We caught cans in every supermarket. And you're lazy, but you like it because that's what you've had all your life, and you just don't use. It just appeals to you better. It's more fun to eat it. Okay, but now you're coming down to your health. What are you going to give to your body? Not what your body wants, but the selfish side wants, the anxiety and the emptiness. You want to fill it with as much pleasure as you can. No, this is what you do. You pick up the carrot. You pick up the carrot soup, and you look at it. You hold it in front of you, and you look at it. And you say, do I want this? Which is better for me, the carrot or the carrot soup? You pick up the carrot, you look at the carrot. Yeah, I think I choose that one. Now, it may not have tasted as good as the other one to begin with, but you've made a spiritual choice. Do you understand? You're making the... You know, one is the forbidden fruit, the junk food, the food that's cooked. It's best to find most of your food is... Most of your food... In America, you've got paradise food. Everywhere you look, it's paradise food. So, but if you got, if you have it in front of you, and you got one and then the other, if you look and choose the good one, you're actually choosing the, you're actually rejecting the forbidden fruit. But the only way you can do that is by grace, because the average person who's overweight and is a glutton cannot make that choice. He will always make eat the carrot soup or the junk and the Pepsi. He cannot do it. It's only grace that enables you. That when and when you have that grace, you have such relief.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? It's a spiritual choice. It's as close as the spiritual choice you could ever make.
That is very profound.
Okay.
Very profound.
You're going to be a fine person. You get my meditation, it'll help you to find the grace.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, now we're going to... the number, by the way, my office number is 800-877-3227, and I do appreciate a check from you if you value what I'm saying. I can't stay on the air. There may be some more you need. Or it may be someone who needs, and your need are fulfilled. I'm trying to set people free. I don't need a horde of people worshipping me and coming to church on Sunday and having thousands and thousands of people, me having to put on a performance. When I'm finished with you, I hope that you're free like I... If you never want to see me again, but see, send some money. Send some money because pay it forward. And then when you send some money, it's got to be like this. If it hurts to give it, if you feel like you're giving something to me, if you feel good giving it, don't send it. And if you feel like it's a tug, like you ought to give something, don't send it. But give it. Get up one morning and say, "Oh, I'll just write him a check, whatever it is, $10, $100, whatever it is." That is. Is good for you and is good for me. I'm not like those churches that guilt you into giving. Thank you. Ah, I'm going to read the back of my book, Gravity Driven Universe. One way or another, whether push or pull, we know that for sure that gravity is omnidirectional with identical mathematics. But with pull, gravity can be seen as a property of matter, right? So, if so, something is wrong. The moon lifting the tides twice daily should have fallen into orbital decay with the Earth having pulled it down eons ago. It is puzzling that physicists are not troubled by the fact that the moon not only insists on forever lifting the tides, but adding insult to injury, keeps moving it away about 4 centimeters further from the Earth each year. Now, if instead we consider the gravity as driven by an omnidirectional pressure, a push force, another possibility arises. We consider that it is mysteriously infusing energy to the Earth-Moon system, sustaining the Moon's orbit with the appearance of raising the tides, but actually pushing it further away from the Earth. Here we can show that push and pull, while being identical in the mathematics, have different outcomes. With push, gravity is a property of the universe. If this is true, then gravity is flowing from an everlasting source. And Earth and Moon system is one example of many other types of vacuum energy machines in the universe. That's it, see? In other words, if I give other words, then what happens is I have to go on talking and talking and talking. That's the back of the book, the cover of the book. Gravity-driven universe, energy from a unifying field. There are some of you who tinker with you know, in your garage. If you get this book, you might be the first to grasp what gravity really is, because they don't know what it is yet. If you ask the physicists what gravity is, they'll say, we don't know. Good, I do. Good for you and me. So let me show you how it works when it's a push. Let me show you how the Earth-Moon system is refueled. If you were the Superman going round and round the Earth, lifting up the oceans, right? For billions of years, you'd get very tired and you'd have to fall down, wouldn't you? You can't lift without any recharge. You'd have orbital decay. You'd actually get so tired lifting the oceans, pulling them up, that you have to fall into the ocean. No. What happens is, not only does the oceans go up and down every year for billions and billions of years, it's something's moving the Earth that's doing all this away from the Earth 4 centimeters a year.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, we have an interesting question here from Julie in California. It'll be our last question of the evening. Hello, Julie.
I haven't seen my dad in 40 years, and I was working on a letter.
Why do you want to work on a letter? Why don't you go see him?
Because he's in Hungary.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did you know Austria was hungry and took a piece of turkey and dipped it in grease?
No, I didn't know that. I love your sense of humor. Oh, gosh.
I'll get on an airplane, go see him.
Well, I...
Just arrive one day, just appear one day. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, he'd pay for a plane ticket and all that, but I have some neurological disease problems.
Such as?
And then I have Crohn's disease and
You mean you're a crony?
Gosh, that sounds better than Crohn's disease, huh?
Well, what's Crohn's disease?
It's an intestinal disease.
What is it? What is it? But just tell me what it entails.
Well, it's worse than colitis, and a lot of people, they'll go ahead and have their intestinal tract.
Oh, well, were you born with it?
No.
No, but then how did you get it? Maybe it's not a disease, maybe it's a stress.
Well, yeah, because stress triggers.
Ah, no, stress is what, that's how you know it's. Is, you know, you think it's a disease that's made worse by stress. I tell you that it could very well be the stress that's causing the disease. Let me prove a point to you. Okay. If I send you a CD that will teach you how to deal with stress, will you accept it?
Yeah, I would.
And you can keep taking your medicine and see what happens. I'll tell you, I'll make a bet with you.
Okay.
Within 1 week, it'll be gone.
Okay.
And that, or your money back, and I'm not even charging you.
Well, I've tried to get on your website, but I live out here on a ranch, and all I have is dial-up.
Oh, dear, well, that's no good. I will send you a book and a CD called Be Still and Know, and you just practice the Be Still and Know. It's all you do. Sit quietly. Can you spend an hour in the morning or for a week or so, and then cut the time down? I'll show you how to do a short version of it, like it only takes 2-3 minutes. But you need to get started, you know.
Okay. I have so many problems. When I used to date, I always picked a guy that would end up leaving me.
Yeah, you have rejection issues.
Yeah, it seems like I've always picked somebody that was...
That's your problem, and that's where your anger is.
Yes, I'm very angry.
Well, I know that. We are going to fix you. I am going to help you get better, Julie, or my name isn't Roy Masters.
Oh, it isn't?
No, but I'm just saying that. It is. I'm saying I'm going to help you get better, otherwise my name isn't Roy Masters, because Roy Masters can help you do that.
Oh, Well, I recently just started listening to you, and you have helped several people. And
But you're next.
I hope so, because Roy, you know, my life is a mess. And
no, don't worry, don't. No, let's not talk about it. Can you send this?
But
I know it's pretty expensive, but send it overnight. I don't care
Roy,
how much it is. Yeah.
This is all overlapped in my
courier. Okay, fine. Pardon?
All my problems, you know, I have a 17-year-old son that's at a youth guidance center because I picked a man that wouldn't be a father to my son.
Yes.
So,
I tell you,
you
what,
know, I've ruined my son's life.
Yeah, listen, I know you have, but let me put it this way. Let's fix you first and your son second. Is that a deal?
Yeah, I hope so.
Forget about your son right now. By courier, whatever that means, my producer says by courier, so it must be something new. Next day, yeah, there you are. So there you are. So therefore, tomorrow we'll mail it, and the next day you'll get a CD, and I will owe me nothing.
I'll send you what I can.
Nothing. When you get better, send me a dollar.
Okay, because, you know,
I don't care what it is. Just get better. That's what you're going to do. You just follow my instruction, and you call me in about a week or two.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm trembling. I might have to. It cost me a buck here. But I'm as sure as I could have done that this evening. In other words, I just didn't want to jump on this too quickly. But you can do this. It could be done if I was moved to do it, but I wasn't that moment. Sometimes I'm moved to do these things. And, you know, just not wait till you even send them anything, but help them get the relief first. But it will take just a little while. It is that what she describes is emotional based. Most of your illnesses have the basis in emotions and complicated by lifestyle, where you eat, where you drink, etc., etc. So, well, tomorrow is another time. Go to my website. And if you want to go to roymasterstv.com, roymasterstv.com. RoyMasters.tv.com. No, it's not that. It's wrong. RoyMasters.tv. Got it. Almost made a mistake. Wendy, if I make a mistake, you have to correct me. Okay, good. Just tell her. It's okay to cut in. RoyMasters.tv. The reason why I send you to that, if you're a new listener, because it's easy to see me, our video, and join, but it could not join it, but subscribe. The word I'm looking for is subscribe. Subscribe. It's only $5 a month, and you get both. And then you get all the archives, too, our radio programs years and years back, if you want to listen to them. It'd be very, very helpful. And then you can click the button, I think it says next or something, and then it goes to the page where a CD is and a book. Okay. Click the book and CD tab, and it shows up. That's all there is there. There's nothing else to buy. Nothing. It's the book, How Your Mind Will Make You Well, and the CD itself, and you can order it. Nothing more. That makes it very easy. Then later you can go to my website. Just for the sake of ease. Fair enough? All right, well, I'm happy to have been here. I do hope I've not frightened you too much. I do hope that you wake up before you make terrible mistakes, in the coming season.